Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hi, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. Oh, today is going to be so much fun for me, and I know for you guys too. Today we have Ellen Meredith, who is the author of a book called The Language Your Body Speaks. She's also an intuitive and an energy medicine practitioner with over 35 years of experience, and she has served on the faculty of the energy medicine school that Donna Eden has made. She's fantastic, and her work is incredible. And so, and Ellen is joining us today from California. So welcome to the show, Ellen.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I'm really happy to be here.
So, yeah, me too. And I'm just so excited to have you because, you know, you and I do very similar things, and it's always super fun to be able to talk to somebody else who's it's kind of rare that I meet somebody that works the way that I do. So I'm just delighted to have you. So tell us a little bit about you and how you got into energy medicine.
Okay, well, I was originally trained in energy medicine by my inner teachers. Mm-hmm. They had first approached me in my late teens, early 20s, and started speaking to me, and I would write their guidance, and they trained me very intensively. And then at one point, they said, you're going to be moving to California. I was in Michigan at the time, and you're going to get very sick, and in the process of healing, you're going to learn to be a healer. And I said, oh, yeah, right. I like the California part. And they said, and we're going to give you three tools to start with. So they gave me three tools. And I think I'm trying to remember. One was a sheaf of wheat. One was a pair of scissors. And one was a rock. And I just laughed. It sounded like a fairy tale, right? Oh, my gosh, you know. And I was just laughing. About an hour or two later, the doorbell rang. It was someone I barely knew. I didn't even know how she knew where I lived. Excuse me. And she said, are you a healer? I need some healing. And I said, well, come on in. You know, I have these tools. And she said, okay, good. She came in, she sat down, and I had these three tools. I thought, oh my God, what am I supposed to do with these? So I just played around with them. I took the wheat and I sort of pulled it over her intestines, and I took the stone and I put it where I intuitively thought it would go, which was her solar plexus. Now, these were imaginary tools, right? But I was used to using my imagination. I was a creative writer. So I just was using these tools I'd been given. I took the scissors and I was cutting these things that looked like they were getting her stuck in place. And after about 25 minutes, she turned to me. She said, great, thanks. That did the trick. I feel great. And it was like, okay.
Wow.
I know. I was stunned. And I thought, well, this is weird. Very, very weird and interesting. I'm not sure what happened. But because I was used to the training with my teachers and just hearing guidance and being given experiences to explore whatever the lesson was that they were giving me, I just took it. I just didn't even think about it that much. I just thought, well, I'm glad I could help her. You know, and the next time I saw her, I said, how are you doing? She said, great. And I mean, that was the extent of it. And, you know, looking back, I think, what was wrong with me? But that's just how natural it felt. And then I did move to California. I got a job out. I'm here now. So I got a job out here and and got sick, as they had predicted. And I went to an MD who said, there's nothing medicine can do to help you. And it was severe digestive issues, and I wasn't metabolizing food properly, and I was dizzy. I had all these things. She just said, there's nothing I can do to help you. I'm going to send you to a complementary practitioner. And which, bless her heart, right? Because that's kind of rare.
Yeah.
And so I went to this complementary practitioner who did applied kinesiology, which is the source of the muscle testing that a lot of people use. And it's rooted in Chinese five element theory and meridians and all that stuff. And I found out in the process of her working on me that I could see what was going on in my own body energetically, and I could see what was going on in her body, and I could tell which of the supplements on the big wall full of supplements, which ones I would need. I could just tell. And, you know, I think a lot of people have gifts and skills that they don't know they have because they never get an opportunity to to play around and experiment. So we got to play for 6 months and experiment with energy. And I could often see what was needed. And often they were things I just made up or that came to me. And at the end of that time, she said, would you be willing to come work with other clients that I'm stuck with as a medical intuitive? And I said, okay, why not? You know, give it a try. And I was able to see what was going on with them as well. And it just took off. Within a year, I had a full-time practice. I was teaching at a university, so I had to quit my teaching job and, you know, choose between the two careers. And this one did not involve grading papers, so I really liked it.
That's awesome. And that's awesome. Yeah. So you, and then you were drawn to working with Donna Eden and her energy medicine. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what energy medicine is for people that maybe haven't heard that term yet.
Absolutely. And I do want to say that I had a practice for almost 25 years before I met Donna. I've been working with her for the last 10, but our systems are very similar. They're like English and Irish. Right. So energy medicine is any form of healing that uses the energy communications of the body. The body speaks in both chemistry and energy. Those are just the two communications built into our body. And basically at its root, chemistry is energy, right? All those electrons and protons in the molecules are energy as well. So ultimately, energy is the language the body speaks. And energy medicine, there are many different forms of it. People will have heard of acupressure or acupuncture. They would have heard of yoga or maybe Reiki. There's lots of different styles of how to use energy with purpose to communicate with the body's energies and influence our health, including our body's chemistry. So that's, I dove right into energy medicine because energy was was my playground. And when I found Donna Eden, what was really eye-opening for me was that I had gotten sick in the middle of that time where I had migraines, pretty bad migraines every day for about 15 years. And I couldn't heal them in myself. I could have healed them in you and someone else. I couldn't do it for myself. So I went to the bookstore one day and Donna Eden's book pretty much jumped off the shelf and into my arms. And I took it home, read it and said, she's the real deal. I want to study with her because her modality focuses a lot on self-healing tools.
Right.
And from that day forward, I've become a very big proponent of, you know, I can help you, but my goal is to help you help yourself, to teach you, you know, it's almost as much education as it is, you know, hands-on healing because, well, you know, it's the whole thing of teach a woman to fish and she can take care of herself, give her a fish and she's got one meal. And that's right. A very bad paraphrase, but there you go.
I know what you mean.
I just wanted to change it. So I really do believe in self-healing, that we all have to be able to communicate with our own bodies, with our body, mind, and spirit, because we really are a combination of all three, body, mind, and spirit. And they communicate constantly beneath the surface of our awareness. So when we can dip into those communications and participate in the language of the body, which is energy, we don't have to be popping pills all the time. We don't have to be wondering what the hell's going on. I don't know what's wrong. I don't have a diagnosis. Or when we do have a diagnosis, we're not stuck with the limits of chemical pharmaceutical treatments.
Because it can really only go so far. And a lot of times, like we're dealing with like it's such a complex system, like you said, you know, and it's body, mind, spirit, emotions, experience, our history, our trauma, our life purpose, like all of these things kind of like mushing together into our being, you know, and Western medicine is really fantastic if you break a bone or you need a surgery or something, but they're not really equipped to deal with the whole thing. And what I like so much about your book is that it really sort of simplified and normalized in a way the whole thing and to make it possible, because I think most people are not always tuned in to their system or their, you know, their body. Like a lot of people are dissociated. They're not living in their body or they're not in their feelings, you know? So the exercises that you have in your book are a lot about helping us tune into those things, right? Can you say a little more about that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I really do see healing as a communication task. rather than a kind of medical or pseudo-medical issue. And even if you have a medical issue, there are communication elements that need to be addressed. You can have a cancer and go, you know, do the chemo route or whatever and go into remission from cancer. You still haven't addressed the imbalances and the ways your body communicates with mind and spirit that created the cancer in the first place. And right. So the healing has to go larger than that. So what I wanted to do in this book, first of all, I believe that this is not a special psychic ability. I mean, I'm quite psychic, you're quite psychic, because we've developed that equipment in us, that intuitive equipment. But I really believe everyone has the ability to use their equipment much more extensively, just like we've got way more brain cells than most of us activate or use. Mm-hmm. And so what I tried to do in the book was go beneath all the jargon of the different modalities, because there's a big learning curve with all of them. And, you know, if you're sick and you want to help yourself, or even if you just want to feel better, you're not sick, but you want to feel greater well-being, you don't want to have to study 4 years and pay a lot of money to learn all the jargon to and all the diagnosis and all that stuff. To be able to say, this is my body, where's the user's manual, what language does it speak, and how do I get started talking with it? And, you know, when you're in a foreign country and you don't speak the lingo, you can use sign language and get a lot across. And so what I do in the book is I build upon our real perceptions, which are the senses. And we have more than five senses, but you can start with, for example, seeing. We have the outer seeing where, you know, there's a horse in the field and the mind brings that image into the brain. The brain assembles it and interprets it as horse and then assigns meaning to it. And that's how we learn and grow and develop language as children, is we perceive something, we codify it, and then we assign meaning to it. And those three things are a big part of healing. Has the meaning that we've assigned, is it the right meaning? You know, if we assigned it at the age of three, maybe the meaning we assign to the horse, you know, like being scared of it, is not real. And right. So our reaction to that may need to be adjusted. Anyway, so you can do that with vision, for example. But we have the inner vision. Like if I say, shut your eyes and picture your mom or your best friend, most people can do some version of that. It might not be an exact image, but we have that inner seeing, and we have inner taste and inner smell and inner hearing and inner direct knowing. And, you know, all the senses have a much bigger bandwidth than our culture acknowledges or that we acknowledge. We use them all the time. We just don't acknowledge we're doing it. So I tried to create a total immersion experience for the readers where they start to realize all the ways they already speak energy and build on that in a very individualized way. So it's not a dictionary, this means this. It's not an encyclopedia, you know, when your knee hurts, here's what it means. It's not that. It's how do we each individually build meaningful energy dialogue with our own subtle energies.
So it may be like more like, what does it mean to me? Or what does it mean to me at this point in my life, you know, in this moment?
Right. You know? And if I want to bring consolation to this instrument, what gesture can I use? What sound can I use? What color can I use? And, you know, there's lots of books out there that tell you this color means this and this color means that, which are lovely, except your body didn't read the book.
Right.
So they may not, your body may not respond to the color the way the author of the book did. Mm. So we have to be creating our own core vocabulary. We construct language as children. Yes, we take it in, but we also construct it in one word sentences and then two word sentences and then whole phrases. And so I show people how to use that same process to reconstruct our first language, which is energy, for themselves.
Right. And when you talk about energy, what do you mean exactly? Like if people don't understand, what's the energy part of energy medicine? And what is this energy thing that you're talking about?
This energy thing, I'm glad you asked, because sometimes I talk about like everyone knows what it is. And everyone does know something about what energy is. So there's three different levels we can think about with energy. Energy forms the body. And, you know, that's what science tells us, that although I think this is a solid thing, it's actually a mass of energy exchange. And that's a little hard for some people to picture, but we know it intellectually. So our body is formed of energies. Our body is fueled by energies. And that's something everybody can identify with. Like, oh, I wish I had the energy to go out and see my friends this afternoon. I mean, it's in our common language. Wow, she's a really high energy person. Most people know what I mean when I say that, but they may have a different definition. Some people may say, oh, she's really glowing. Another may say she gets a lot done. Another may say, oh, she's in my face. You know, people perceive that high energy description in different ways, but we have some shared understanding that there's this thing that animates us. So right. In that sense, the energies that I talk about often are the energies that animate or fuel us. And then the third way that energies work in the body and in the language of energy is they organize the energies of the body and the energies around us. So they organize the functions of the organs. They organize the systems that, you know, digest food, that process things we take in, et cetera, et cetera. Those are organized by energies. And there's signals, you know, electrical signals from the brain that tell the body what to do. The nervous system is full of electrical signaling, telling the body what to do, organizing things. And so, and there's something that in Chinese medicine or some other modalities call subtle energies, which are not as easy to perceive using instruments yet, but we're certainly capable of perceiving them. We just have to start experimenting with it.
Or so, we perceive them in a very unconscious way. We perceive them all the time. And right. what your work is doing is taking that, what's happening in our subconscious, and really bringing it into our conscious mind so we can... Right. We can have more of a direct relationship with that energy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And I build on things we already know. Like, we know the difference between loud and quiet. It's different for each person, but each person will say that's loud, that's quiet. Well, we can use that to apply to energies. Is her energy loud or quiet? And most of us can do that. We can take 10 of our friends and say, wow, this person's really loud and this person's really quiet. And they understand it's not just about the voice. They understand right. It's their whole energetic presence that they can characterize as loud as quiet, loud and quiet, or still or animated, or radiant or shut down. And you meet someone and you say, wow, that person's really closed in, aren't they? What are you talking about? They're not in a shut room. They don't have a cage around them. You're perceiving their energy in that moment by the words you use to describe them.
Yeah.
And that's perceiving their subtle energies. It's
cool.
Just you're not making the mental connection. Oh, when I use words to describe someone, I am describing their energies.
Sure. That's awesome. I love that. And so what happens is, we have experiences that, or issues or feelings, traumas that kind of tangle up our energies where things go, where the energy is no longer in flow inside of our system. Right. And then that's where we experience ill health or, you know, emotional issues or whatever. And your processes are really about sort of unkinking these. Like, I think about them as the kink in the hose that doesn't allow the energy to flow.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I go through in the book a lot of the different reasons for, not only why we get sick, but what the body's trying to communicate. Because I believe the body communicates through symptoms and through sensations and through events. You know, if you stumble and fall, that's kind of an event, right?
Yes.
And even through what we call into our life. I mean, because we have an energetic exchange with others all the time. And you know that feeling where you go to a party and there's someone everyone's avoiding. Their energy is saying, stay away. I don't want to see anyone, even if they're not talking. That's part of that energetic exchange we pick up with others. So what I look at in the book is how do we construct a self that's an instrument of expression? And then what's the body trying to communicate with the symptoms? And I'm not saying just interpretive, like, what does this mean? But but more getting into dialogue where we can get in touch. There's an inner guidance system built into our instruments. And most of us don't know how to listen to it. We listen to external guidance. You know, what are the rules of society? What right. do people expect? What do we think we should do? What do
we don't like the symptoms, so we do things to make them go away. Like we right. take some aspirin or yeah. we, you know. Yeah.
And the Western medical model is really damaging to our ability to heal ourselves in a way, because it asks, what's wrong and how can I fix it? Uh-huh. And, you know, what's wrong? How can I fix it? What's wrong? How can I fix it? And so we're always digging into, I get a little headache. What's wrong? How can I fix it? And unfortunately, energy follows attention. So whatever you pay attention to, you're probably going to get a little more of. And it's not that you have to ignore the owie, but a better question might be, what's going on? What are you expressing? And what's needed right now? And how can I cultivate it?
Yeah,
so
I love that.
It's a signal of what's needed. It's a signal of pay attention here. It's a signal of not just what's kinked, because that's an important part of healing, is sort of what's not functioning that needs to be supported, but also what's missing. Hmm. And, you know, I'm coming to believe that this week anyway, that a lot of illness, a lot of healing modalities talk about releasing blockage. Mm. And I think that's good. Great. It's good to do, to release blockage. But I think that a lot of that blockage is a placeholder for what isn't there and should be.
Hmm.
Okay.
So more like a deficit of something.
It's a deficit of something. So if yeah. you go all day and you are looking at your computer and you're working and you're doing things for other people and you're doing things to earn money or to earn praise, you know, sort of secondary gratification, that it's not so fun in itself, but you're going to like the result. You're going to get more money or whatever. And you do that moment after moment all day long. Well, your body needs little snacks of pleasure. It needs to look at something beautiful. It needs to interact with nature. It needs 2 minutes to pet your kitty. It needs to look at a beautiful color and take it in. I call those yin snacks, because the receptivity,
love it.
The yin that runs the body, which is the heart, yeah. the lungs, all the organs that are called yin in Chinese medicine, are the receiving or receptive part of us, and they heal tissue. And if the yin isn't fed a steady diet, it starts sending symptoms. It starts sending aches and pains and blockage. It puts a blockage in, saying, well, I'm not going to let you function until you feed me. Hmm. And so sometimes when we go to release blockage, we just leave a vacuum that immediately gets filled with another blockage.
Right.
Because we need to assure the body, hey, I'm here and I'm going to be nourishing you and I'm going to be loving you and I'm going to be treating you like the beautiful creature you are.
Right. I love
that. Anyone, you know, who's got a cat or dog knows that they're not going to let you ignore them all day long and stare at your computer screen. They're going to be on the, you know, right in front of the screen looking at you like, isn't it?
That's usually what my cat's doing, right? She's been on every radio show I've ever been on.
That's right. And so is your body. So mm-hmm. is your body. Our creatures come with us everywhere we go, and yeah. we treat them much worse than our dogs or cats.
Totally.
Heart,
I
right?
love it. I absolutely love it. I love that idea of not only do we, you know, that we have to add what we need and not just release the block. So yeah. this work is so amazing. I wanted to get it in everyone's hands, Ellen. So how do people find you and how do people find your book?
Okay, so my website is the easiest way to get information about my work, and it's ellenmeredith.com. And oh yeah, there it is spelled on the screen. And I do have a YouTube channel, which is Energy Medicine with Ellen Meredith. And I've put up lots of free materials, including an 8-video free class on energy medicine self-help tools for enhanced immunity, which is in this time of pandemic, energy medicine to help both protect you from getting the virus, but to help you heal quicker if you do get a virus.
That's awesome. And there's a copy of your book, The Language Your Body Speaks. So yeah. you can get it, I imagine, on Amazon or any of the book outlets.
Yes, any bookstore. And so if you have an independent bookstore you like to support, you can get it through them or bookdepository.com or amazon.com. Mm-hmm. And it's available all over the world with free shipping on bookdepository.com.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ellen, for being with us today and for writing this beautiful book. And I just so love what you, you know, that it's all about self-healing, because I do think that's an incredible way to empower people. And, you know, especially in this time of isolation, we can't all get to our energy healer, right? So it's really a beautiful thing that you did to write this book. So thank you for doing it. And thank you for being with us here today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And thanks all of you guys for all of you that are listening. You can find me on my website, lisacampion.com. I hope you stop by and visit. And I want to give you a big squeeze from us here at Empower Radio and the Miracle of Healing. So have a great day.